It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning, everyone. The lightning is on the streets. The lightning is in your mailboxes. And as we do every Thursday morning at this time, the lightning is on your radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Welcome to another version edition of Lightning Radio.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Mark, and happy to be back with the community with the news.
Awesome. So let's get to it, Bill, because we've got a lot to cover, as we do just about every Thursday morning. All right, I'm looking at this week's Lightning, hot off the press, still warm in my hands, and the lead story, City County remain in standoff over control of waterline requests.
Yeah, this is one that people will regard as been around here a while as a really a long-running saga, yep. Not just with the city of Hendersonville, yep. But going back to the early to mid-90s with a long dispute, actually more recently, more or less resolved with the city of Asheville, and that is Henderson County, and really in part desire by a lot of the elected leaders over in Henderson County to have more control over water and sewer, which they don't own either of those utilities. They did own in the northern part of the county a sewer district, the Cane Creek Sewer District. They were really the owners and the administrators and the managers of that. But in a merger that they wanted to happen, that merged with the Metropolitan Sewer District based out of Asheville. But that leaves the latest fight, which has kind of been re-erupted a month ago with for the first time publicly. Kind of erupted again when the Board of Commissioners blocked a waterline extension for this development of vacation cabins out at the old historic Horseshoe Farm there on South Rugby Road in Horseshoe. Also hung up in this dispute for the moment is a development of around 30 single-family homes on Academy Road in Dana. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And also, if it were to continue to be in this standoff as it is right now, the county presumably would block the Taproot Dairy development of 700 homes and townhomes from connecting to city water as well. So what's going on this week? This is sort of the city's response to the county's move to block these water extensions, and say the members of city council would like to, or the city manager is going to recommend that they revise a 1997 agreement. It goes back to Fred Niehoff, who was very interested in water and utilities and and the governance of both and how that worked with not only Henderson County, but the other towns in the county. And that really is what gave the Henderson County Board of Commissioners the authority, really did give them veto authority, which they're now using to block these water lines extensions. So it's a little bit of a finesse the way in this fairly long, 2.5 or so pages, proposed memorandum, the city would still send up these requests saying, okay, we have water available. Let's say it was for Horseshoe. There is water. We can do it. But it's up to y'all to approve the development. And when you approve the development, essentially they're going to assume that means they approve a water line extension that is available and reasonable and practical for that piece of property. Same would be true with the Dana property. Same would be true with the Taproot Dairy property on Butler Bridge Road. So we'll see. The city council takes this up on Thursday night. We'll see. I think the betting odds would give this a pretty strong chance of being adopted so that this 1997 agreement would be amended. And it will be fairly important if the city council were to adopt this. And then that is a bounce pass back to the court of the Board of Commissioners and what their reaction, if any, might be. You got to believe with my, political analysis hat on that maybe more constructive and productive back channel talks about this topic than we're likely to see in a public way for the next few weeks. And that would be my guess.
Interesting. And again, the city will take this up this coming Thursday or next Thursday. Is that what you said?
No, I'm sorry. I meant no. It's tonight.
Tonight. Okay.
We read all the details. We quote extensively. We quote from the proposed memorandum. We quote from Grady Hawkins, the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, who naturally does not sound too receptive to this change, although he says he hasn't seen it. Now, one of the things that the Lightning reports from talking to people who should know, who would know, is that there's not much, they say, communication between these two governing bodies or administrators about this, you know, about the fact that we got this water all stuck in a ditch right now.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I'm sure the Lightning will continue to drip this story along as it comes out, right?
we'll continue to cover the waterboarding of the people and the property owners and the economy of Henderson County.
There you go. Thank you, Bill. I knew you had that one in there. I figured you had to. All right, let's talk about something else that's on the front page here that has also caused quite a rift in the community as new developments tends to do sometime. The asphalt plant war. Apparently, the applicant has withdrawn that request as of right now.
Yeah, withdrawn. As of right now is absolutely the properly phrased way to describe what's happened. For a variety of reasons regarding a toxicology expert that the applicant had retained at the request, according to the applicant, which is Jeff Shipman and Southeastern Asphalt, had retained at the request of commissioners who said, well, why don't you bring in a toxicologist to tell us whether or not the pollution is going to kill everybody. Or whether the emissions is going to be harmful to people's health. And so, okay, we got a toxicologist. Unfortunately, she lives out of town. And according to an interpretation by Brian Golden, the attorney, and Jeff Shipman, which I've really not seen in other instances, they claim that this toxicologist coming from out of state would be subject to a 14-day quarantine. Are you aware of a 14-day quarantine for anybody flying or otherwise entering the state of North Carolina?
It's the first I heard also.
So, but that's what they said, and that's what they said. That's why they said, I guess they weren't willing to pay for this expert to be in the state, according to their interpretation of the situation, for 14 or 15 days. So they said, well, barring that, can she testify via live Zoom video or other sort of remote electronic connection? And the county said no to that. And the county's offer was just a pre-recorded video, which they also would offer the other side, presumably on this topic of air pollution or something else. And they just couldn't reach agreement on that. So they said, consequently, we are withdrawing the application since it was not acted on. It's been, of course, recommended for denial by the Henderson County Planning Board, but the authority to make the decision, the county commissioners have taken no action as of this moment. Jeff Shipman and Southeastern Asphalt, and that team can refile this application in 6 months. Had the county commissioners turned it down, they couldn't file this or another similar application for that property in 1 year. So 6 months down the road, this is really probably not the end of this story. It might be, but again, we'll have to. It's on our radar screen, and we'll have to bird dog that one as well. We do get an interview that might give some hint as to whether Jeff Shipman is willing to go on, and I asked him how much he had invested. I did ask him about refiling. He said, well, we've just withdrawn this one, so I won't have any comment on that. And I said, well, how much have you invested in this application? He says, right now, we're at about $130,000, and that would include things like, of course, the engineering, lawyers, experts on air and water quality and other costs. And I asked him, well, have you thought about another site, maybe even another site out of the county? And they have said this before. They said they've looked everywhere in the county. And according to what they have said publicly is that this is the only site that is, it meets distance requirements. In other words, it's far enough away from homes, doctor's offices, schools, churches, other places where people congregate. And according to Jeff Shipman, that spot right there, which is on Spartanburg Highway, at where the U.S. 25 connector crosses Spartanburg Highway, that is the spot. So, stay tuned for that.
Yep, stay tuned, because just like you, there will be more to this story. Speaking of more to the story, there's more Lightning Radio coming up here in just a moment with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, party financing, Four Seasons politics, and more coming up here on theCUBE.
Happy fall from Kaysen Oil Company. Fuel prices have dropped, so now is the time to get your oil before the cold weather is here. Schedule your delivery today by calling 693-0246. Family owned and operated, Kaysen Oil Company, serving our community for over 40 years.
And we're back with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, let's get back to the news. Jay Kirby with Party Hospital gave a sort of financial health update to the commissioners this week. And you've got the story here in the Lightning.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was, Mark. The party folks, President, CEO Jay Kirby, and usually the Chief Financial Officer, which was the case again this year, they appear before the Board of Commissioners because that the party is indeed a county-owned hospital, and they report on finances and other things. They've been reporting a lot more frequently since March because of the COVID crisis and what effect that might have on capacity and finances and so forth. And indeed, that was the theme of this update, which was we would have lost money in the fiscal year ending on June 30 of 2020 had it not been for some pretty good CARES Act funding. But one of the highlights, which made the headline, insurers, quote, printing money while hospitals suffer, was that Jay Kirby is just really not happy with sort of the imbalance of the fact that insurers, because hospitals have this problem that they had to postpone, almost completely call off elective surgeries like hip replacements, knee replacements, shoulder replacements, which Party does a really good job of and actually, as it turns out, makes a good profit on. Well, in the meantime, they had more costs for isolation reasons, obviously personal protective, all of that stuff that went with the pandemic treatment. And so as a result, Mr. Kirby says, as it relates to that, our insurance folks are printing money, even more money than they usually do. So for United Healthcare to double its second quarter earnings during a time when hospitals are struggling is tough. So you can read more about the finances. The chief financial officer reports that they did barely sort of stagger to the end of the fiscal year 2020. I think they were ahead by $1.6 million only because of a $6 million CARES grant. That was that first relief that the Congress passed that had a bunch of hospital grants in it. And they've gone into this fiscal year with projecting a net operating margin of 1%, which is quite a bit below. They had been doing very well before COVID-19. An average charge increase that patients can expect to see of 3%. A merit pay increase, people will, all the 1,200 or so employees will like to see averaging 2.5% effective this coming January 1st, and a cap on capital projects of $15 million. So that's the state of affairs at Pardee.
And again, you can read the rest of that story in this week's Lightning. Let's stay on medical for just a moment. Dr. Jones, after 48 years as a surgeon, has announced his retirement.
Yeah, the well-known, popular, longtime surgeon for 48 years, as a matter of fact, Pardee, and the last, last 13 years or so chapter of Dr. Jones's career, mostly at the Wound Healing Center, at the well-regarded wound center there at Pardee UNC Healthcare, will be hanging up his scalpel, I guess, and taking a much-deserved rest or vacation or whatever. The great thing is, a native born and raised in East Flat Rock, he studied medicine at UNC Chapel Hill, served in the Army, I think it was. Yes, indeed, it was the Army, as a field surgeon at Fort McClellan in Alabama, and has been working here since 1979.
Fantastic. Bill, it just doesn't seem like, it doesn't feel like Lightning Radio unless we at least delve a little bit into Four Seasons politics. And you've done that in this week's Lightning again. Talk about this story. GOP expected to tap Moffitt for McGrady's House seat.
Yeah, exactly right. As the Lightning first reported, and we've been talking about for a couple weeks now, at first, it did not look like I'll put it that way, Representative McGrady would serve out his term until the new legislators are sworn in, and when they convene the long session in mid-January, I think it is. But as it turned out, the House Speaker of the legislature appointed Chuck McGrady to the North Carolina Board of Transportation, which meets next, I think it's Wednesday and Thursday. So you cannot serve in that executive branch appointment and on in the North Carolina legislature at the same time. So Chuck McGrady plans to resign, I think, effective noon this coming Monday. And actually be sworn in, go to the Grove Street Courthouse, and plans to be sworn in by District Court Judge Kim Gasperson Justice, which will leave 3 days later the Henderson County Executive Committee of the Henderson County Republican Party the task of appointing a new state representative for the House District 117, and that is expected to be the person who you'll find on the ballot nominated for that seat for the Republican Party, Tim Moffitt, the former two-term Republican representative from then Buncombe County, now has moved back to Henderson County, which is his home. He's a graduate of West Henderson High School, moved back to home he has on up on Bear Walla Mountain. So that's expected to happen 1 week from today, I guess. And interesting, we were talking about this in show prep off the air, that this how common this just turned out to be for our county, and especially the Republican Party in Henderson County, to appoint legislators or county commissioners or judges or clerks of court. So let's review that. Daniel Andreotta just a month or so ago, of course, appointed to the seat made vacant by the unfortunate passing of Commissioner Charlie Messer. And then just about a year ago, the party nominated Jake Johnson to fill the seat vacated when Representative Cody Henson, resigned. 3-4 years ago in the summertime. Also, Chuck Edwards was appointed to replace Tom Apodaca when Apodaca, the powerful rules chairman of the North Carolina Senate, resigned before his term expired, and the list goes on and on. Our clerk of court was appointed and is now on the ballot. The aforementioned Kim Gasperson Justice was the clerk of court. We had musical chairs, and she became a district court judge. And she was, I think, about the third or so district or superior court judgeship appointment. So it does happen. These appointments are they go up the line either to the governor, or I think in one case, maybe even the Supreme Court justice, and in another case with the county commissioners, to the Board of Commissioners. But the party has a lot of power because those ultimate appointing authorities, they don't have any choice. They have to appoint the person as long as they are otherwise legally qualified to sit in that seat. They have to appoint the person that the executive committee of the party sends them.
Right. And as we were talking, Senator Chuck Edwards, the first his first partial term, he was appointed. We've had a sheriff appointed. So you're right. It's happened quite a lot in the past.
Yeah, the sheriff. Yeah, that's a good point, too. We had the sheriff, Charlie McDonald, was first appointed before being elected.
Yeah.
So we have had that, and it's significant. It's not just important, obviously, for those few weeks or months or whatever that might be, but it gives that appointed person the imprimatur of being an incumbent with all that comes. People might say how much that's worth. Well, it can be, you know, it's one thing to be Tim Moffitt. It's another thing to be Representative Tim Moffitt.
Exactly. Let's move on to, you touched on this story a little bit when we were talking about the water war, and that is this developer that's seeking an okay for 29 homes in Dana.
Well, it's interesting. I wanted to come back to that for a couple of reasons, more detail on what that would be. It's 29 homes on right at 30 acres and three parcels, I think it is, on Academy Road, between Ridge Road and Sugarloaf Road, would be called Academy Acres. But the readers are out there. Remember, wait, that rings a bell, Academy Road. Did something happen out there? Yes, something happened out there. That's why this ties in, interestingly, to the story about the water politics, because it was the city, at the urging, of course, of the county and the state of North Carolina, and, of course, the entire Dana community, to hurry up and right now run a water line out there to Academy Road to really rescue many, many homes that all of a sudden had been discovered by the state of North Carolina that they had tainted poison well water, basically, that they couldn't drink. It was not potable at all. And the city did that. And there was that was a kumbaya moment when it came to water for the city, the county, the state of North Carolina. As I recall, Granite gave a pretty substantial grant to help that emergency situation. Well, now you've got that same area that's hung up in the opposite way, where the county says, nope, no water for you. we don't want. And the line literally is right there. It in reading the background from the county planners and engineers, they report that for two out of these three parcels, basically the water is right there and all you need is a tap. I think there's a short extension to the third piece of the development, but it really is right there. It's not like a 1 mile extension of the city's water line. It's right there because of that emergency situation. Back in, I think that was 2015 or so. We have that we've had that in another story somewhere else. So stay tuned for that one. We're continuing to report on that situation, trying to reach the developer. And someone told me in some cases, they're not sure that these developers even know that they have sort of been inadvertently taken hostage in this water conflict.
Wow. Let's touch on something else, Bill. Lightning readers love the fact that the Lightning continues to shine a light on new food and drink opportunities that happen in Hendersonville. And another one has just opened or is just opening, sort of Starbucks meets the pub. I love your headline here. Second act changes scenes morning, noon, and night. Tell us about this new venture.
Yeah, fun story. You know, Mark, I was going to say people are we can talk all we want about a dry story, excuse the expression, like water politics or political appointments or four-season politics or party financing. But nothing's more popular. Nothing is more popular than a new restaurant story. And as always, the Lightning has scoop. And it's first to report. It's a fun story, too.
Yeah.
We kind of had fun with the lead where we said two women walk into a bar and start talking about the office. Oh, no, wait, that's not right. The story told by Mike Wiley about his wife, Krista, and her friend, Terry Jacobs, opens this way. Two women walk into an office and start talking about a bar. And Mike Wiley says it. And so Mike goes on to say, Krista told me she was going to be meeting with Terry. And the next thing I know, Krista walks in my office and Terry walks in right behind her and they sat down. And Krista said, we're going to go into the coffee business with Terry. And I said, no, we're not. So you can tell how this story is going to come out. Terry Jacobs, people might recall, is the was the owner proprietor of
Jungo Java.
Of Jungo Java on South Main, the popular coffee, smoothie, sandwich shop. And they have brought in Chris Neville. People know him from a variety of things, a great videographer. He was the kind of front of the house manager when Shine opened, and has done a lot of hospitality. He's done a lot of videography, and he's done a lot of renovations. And he actually kind of captained this really cool innovation of the second act. We haven't even yet said where it, which is there in that newly renovated and really very nicely reimagined space that started out as the old Jones Ford Motor Company,
yep.
You might recall.
Yep.
Not personally recall, since that was 1926, I think it was. later, the school board, I think, at some point had administrative office there. So did the Henderson County Planning Department. And now this offices, this great, of course, retail, coffee bar, beer and wine, they have a more of a prep kitchen than a full commercial kitchen. But look for some of Terry Jacobs from Django Java, greatest hits, like Cuban sandwiches mm-hmm. and, all kind of, and breakfast croissants, I guess, and that sort of thing. A little bit of kind of a lighter lunch as well. Meat and cheese kind of plates at supper time, and on weekends a food truck there in the parking lot there at the corner of King Street and East Allen.
Fantastic, Bill. We've covered a lot of news here that's in print, but you still have some that's online that's not in print. Give us a tease on a couple of those stories, like the recent Athena Award and some school board news.
Yeah, in both cases, we had to throw those overboard. We hope to see those in the October 7 print issue, but we really wanted to shout out to that Athena Award winner, Mayor. Trying to pull the story up here so I can read them all. Mayor Barbara Volk
yep.
was named this year's Athena Award winner, but it was a really, really tough call because what many of us regarded as the strongest field ever, you could have spread this field out over 6 years and produced six winners. Other nominees were Ruth Burge, the former Times News publisher and United Way executive, and current director of Vision Henderson County, Marcia Casario, a lifelong community leader and Uber volunteer in education, healthcare, and the arts. Kim Hinkleman, who just retired this past summer as executive director of the Party Foundation. Dr. Laura Leatherwood, the highly, highly regarded president of Blue Ridge Community College. Lori K. Payton, who was recently promoted to executive director of the Hendersonville Family YMCA. And Asheville firefighter Joy Ponder, a cancer survivor who has worked to educate policymakers about the prevalence of cancer in firefighters. So, boy, what a field that was to pick from. I'm glad I was not on that committee. The school board coverage is from Monday afternoon when, pursuant to the governor's revised order about Plan A, B, or C, all that means is that he added some more grades, I think from K through 2 to K through 5, that could go to Plan A, which is full capacity, still with face masks, but it's more full capacity reopening of schools. School board said, for now, we have space problems. We have too many children in the upper grades in order to make that work. So we're going to hold off. We'll continue. The administrators, will look at that until our October meeting. So no change right now in the children that go 5 days a week now are just the K through two children. Others are on that Group A, Group B, which is 2 days apiece a week going to school, and then everybody is remote on Wednesday.
Yep, absolutely. Bill, believe it or not, there's still even more in this week's Lightning. People need to pick up their copy. So how can they do that?
Oh, by going all around Henderson County to any of the Lightning Orange racks, or visiting the coffee shops and grocery stores that are our dealer partners, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on subscribe to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also easy as pie by calling Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.